Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real life, real faith, real talk.
Gang.
We've been having a lot of real talk here lately. You've been a little under the weather this week.
Real talk, like really, like we're talking in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Recorded talk.
No.
You've been kind of down lately. You want to talk about your week at all, or you want to just skip that part?
I just got a lot to think about, man. I'm really, I kind of realized tonight at the grief meeting or whatever we call it now, that maybe I've been using this time of rest that God's given me to, and turned it into a time of worry and distraction, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You guys have really blessed me with you guys aren't overbearing or ask anything of me for living in your basement, and
I have to confess, I did steal one of your monster sunshines when I came and decorated your tree down here.
What the heck, dude? You're the Grinch that stole Christmas.
I did.
They made me a Grinch tree in my room.
That's true.
It's very nice. When I turn the lights off now, I have red lighting, so I feel real sexy. I feel like I'm recording a TikTok femboy video.
Which, I'll be honest, I didn't do the lights on the tree. Oh, how did Corella get down here? I didn't do the lights on the tree, which, if it were me making a Grinch tree, I would have done green lights. Red lights seems off for some reason.
But. And it's the opposite of the Grinch tree. If it was the Grinch tree, I wouldn't have a tree in my room.
Right. That's stolen. The idea. Right.
But yeah, I spent a lot of time with my family, and I always dread that, but I don't know, man. My little brother was in town. We were hanging out, and I just got a lot of mixed feelings about my life right now, and you know, what I want or what I'm going to do. Maybe I've lost sight of, I mean, I've been so, like, in not caring what I want and wanting what God wants that it's gotten a little scary, you know?
Yeah.
A little faithless, a little hopeless. And I'm just trying to work through that, man. And it's not an easy thing for me to work through. I've gave my testimony on, like, this time in my life where I didn't know if I really believed what I believed, man. And it's not like that now. It's a little different. Like, I definitely believe in Christ. And maybe I don't believe enough in what he did right now.
Yeah.
I don't believe enough that he really bought my price, bro. You know, that he really laid my old self down. And all I want to do right now in this, like, time of unsureness is go back to something that I'm sure of, which is the definition of the opposite of faith.
Yeah.
Of my daily bread.
Yeah, self-reliance kind of defeats that. Now Cookie's down here. What is going on?
We're getting cat infested.
Yeah, and you're allergic to cats. You're going to get sniffles.
So I just got a lot going on, man. I'm thinking about a lot, and I'm trying. I'm really, really trying to, like, rest. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I got too much to worry about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I get that.
I'm definitely realizing, though, that I'm wrong. But I don't know, dude. Like, sometimes we're just wrong. Like, Job is wrong, but he needed to be wrong to be corrected. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm reading C.S. Lewis, that book, A Grief Observed.
Yeah.
And he says some pretty nasty things about God in that book.
Yeah.
But he's like jotting down how he's feeling, or and he clarifies that that's not how he should feel, but I don't know. I've kind of just been feeling a way that isn't very tasteful. And I need to come out of that, bro, but I just don't know how. So I'm really thinking through that. I'm trying to get back into going through the motions of going to Bible studies and relearning these things of, like, enjoying scripture and enjoying teaching and enjoying fellowship. It's like I'm starting over again, you know?
Are you going to that Bible study in Hartsville on Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Still? That's good.
Yeah, I kind of need to get back to that. You know what I'm saying? Of, like, I kind of got peer pressured into, like, being a part of one church, whatever that means.
Right.
I miss having people everywhere. You know, my work is in most of my life is actually still in Columbus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard for me to let that go. You know, my friend Tanner moved, and we don't have that Monday night Bible study going anymore. And that, I didn't realize how big of a chunk that took out of me, bro. I thought I was going to be all right, and something else was just going to swoop in.
Yeah.
But I have a real lack of, like, guidance right now, I guess. I feel like I'm kind of floating out in this ocean alone a little bit.
So, do you think part of that has to do with Tanner leaving, or do you think that
that's just
kind of a symptom of it?
I think it's in God's plan, bro. It's kind of like what happened with me and your dad.
Yeah.
Of like, if he probably would have stayed in my life for too long, it might have got rotten. It was like what you were saying at recovery tonight of like holding on to that one thing until it rots away in your arms. You know?
The manna thing.
Yeah. So I think God's making way for new people in my life, but I don't have the zeal. I don't have the outreach, the want like I used to. Like, I really wanted that thing to happen with Tanner and my boys and stuff. But now, like, that I'm trying to start another one up, I'm just like, I don't want it. It's too much work. It's too much, like, too much. I just lost the zeal, bro.
So are you thinking you're not going to do the Monday night thing, or are you going
to
really try?
I'm doing it.
Good.
Yeah, I'm doing it. That's what I'm saying is, like, I'm trying to do these things that they don't make me uncomfortable or anxious like they used to. You know, that's just like another church program to me.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to, I kind of want to be anxious about it.
Yeah, I don't think you want it to be another church program.
No. I want it, and that's when I invited one of the guys from recovery tonight to, like, you know, he's really struggling with, like, the church programs. He's burnt out and doing all this and that. And I like, realized the need for that, like, getting together with your Christian friends, and this might be controversial, but, like, having a glass of whiskey and smoking some cigars, or grilling some chicken over the grill or something and eating together and just hanging out. You know what I mean? Hanging out till we used to get there at 6 and sometimes get home at, like, 12 at night. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's natural. And I'm trying to find that, and nothing feels natural right now. You know, nothing feels like it's falling into place. You know how God works. It just feels like stuff's falling into place. And it doesn't feel like that right now. I feel like I'm kind of climbing uphill, you know what I mean? A little bit. Trying to make people a part of this thing.
Yeah. Do you think having that thing to, like, try to push others is helpful for you where you're at?
No.
You don't think so?
Elaborate.
So, like, having something where you're trying to recruit people to come together, something that, like, you're trying to bring people together rather than being one of the people that's brought together.
I think from God's perspective, certainly, but from my perspective, it doesn't feel like a good thing.
It's not something you're into?
It used to be. I mean, oh, no, I've been thinking of myself a lot like the second man lately, like, the second man on the podcast. I sit good in that role. I sit good in, like, being the bystander a little bit. But maybe that's a lie I'm spinning in my own web. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
To avoid it.
Do you think sometimes we do that where we, like, we set the tone or the expectation of
absolutely
what we think something is supposed to look like, and then we can't get out of that?
Moses did it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, oh man. I wish you wouldn't have said that, because I was trying not to make this about my thing.
Go, bro.
And not, well, in that I didn't want to be corrected about this.
Oh, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, when you say that about Moses, then it definitely feels like the Jethro, like, this thing that you do is not good. I was talking to Tiffany today about, you know, I've been talking to you about, like, what other pastors I know, like, make financially.
Sure.
And not that I'm not
pocket watching.
Yeah, and I'm not ungrateful for what I make. I feel like God provides for me for sure. But I have been doing this thing where when I started at the church. Now, mind you, I've been there for like
5 years.
Almost. Yeah, I mean, I've been there for like 4 years. I've been there since 21. So
okay,
4 years. But like the September of 21 was like the first time. So like 4.5 years. But I really, 22 is when I, like, started as the permanent pastor. And that was, and then it wasn't until later in 22 that I went full time. But, so yeah, so like 4 or 5 years-ish
mm-hmm.
in that ballpark. But when I started out, when I went full-time and I quit my job. So that's only been like 3 years or so.
Yeah.
But when I did that, that felt, not even 3 years, like 2 years, but that felt like I had to prove somehow that this job could be that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that it can make up for that.
Yeah, so I filled my time with lots of stuff. And that's why I'm like, oh, yeah, we got to have a recovery meeting and I got to be there all the time. Or like, I'm going to do this prayer at the square thing, which these are all good things.
Sure.
But I would also be like, I need to make sure that I'm filling my weeks with counseling people or hospital visits or visits to to widows and stuff like that. And like making sure my schedule stayed full.
Yeah.
So I could like somehow earn like the salary.
So you're doing it right.
But then I'm like, knowing about pastors, other pastors I know that do like, not that they do less than me. I don't want to play this comparison
less
game.
Less busy.
But they're less busy and they make more money than me. Then I'm like, why do I think somehow that when I turn ministry into a job, then I'm like trading value for value and that like my time has to be occupied. If I think I'm supposed to earn this much or whatever, then my time has to reflect that. And that's not really what ministry is.
Yeah, because Abraham wasn't going to sacrifice Isaac thinking that God was going to save him.
Right.
We don't sacrifice our lives thinking that he's going to save it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, well, so in my perspective, me quitting my job, I was like so sure. I mean, I probably talk to you about it all the time. Like,
yeah.
I was so sure God was telling me to quit. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, it's no big deal. I'm going to find another job making the same amount of money. Like, he's going to take care of me. The only job that accepted me was apartment maintenance at $21 an hour.
Hmm.
I got that job. I'm like, it's not a big deal. I'm only making this much less. And then it compounded and compounded to the point where I got like, God, this was supposed to be better. There's literally nothing better about this. Yeah. Nothing.
Mm.
And that's just like my... Tanner, you say all the time, expectations are invalid unless they're expressed and agreed upon. I had these expectations of God that he didn't fulfill. But what are my expectations to God?
Yeah.
His only expectation to me is remain faithful.
Yeah.
Remain faithful with what I've given you. Really, if somebody did my accounting, they would know that I'm all right. I just use it wrong. I'm a bad steward of what God's given me. And then I turn that and blame him. Because he didn't give me what I thought he was going to give me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's kind of like what you're talking about with leaving that. It's like, maybe you thought it'd be the same. And it's not. It's still a sacrifice. It's not the initial sacrifice. Yeah. It's an ongoing sacrifice.
Yeah. And like, even when Paul talks about, like, paying those who teach and preach and all that stuff, he talks about doing, like, just taking care of them so that their needs are met. Right. Yeah. He doesn't talk about like a specific salary or how much you should give.
He's not saying you're gonna be middle class.
Right. He doesn't expect like how much they should expect to make or anything like that. And so then when I strip it down, it's like whether I am making what I'm making now forever or even if I'm making more, that doesn't say the church decided to give me a raise, that doesn't mean that I need to then be like, oh, I need to fill my schedule up even more.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just need to be faithful to what God has called me to do, and then he produces the increase at the church, whatever that looks like. And then, like,
yeah,
like whatever he wants the church to do, if I'm faithful in that, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and then in that sense, I'm earning whatever I'm making. Not because I'm doing specific things that I'm like, all right, well, I'm working 60 hours a week this week, so I'm earning this salary. It's just I'm being faithful to what God's called me to do and faithful to the people in the church, and I make what I make.
The problem is sometimes that's not enough for us, bro, and that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
It is.
That should be enough. That's the zeal I'm talking about that I don't have anymore. Like, why is, like, helping somebody not enough for me anymore? Why can I not play the low man on the totem pole anymore? Why all of a sudden do I want to be big dog? I didn't want that. I didn't want that starting out. I wanted to, like, I really enjoyed helping people and, like, mentoring with people and spending time with people. I really enjoyed the church. I enjoyed going to Bible studies.
Fellowship of it all.
Yeah, I went to those things because I wanted to be at them, not because I felt obligated to. And I wonder, like, what changes? What changed? Is it really my personal life that's changed all that? Or am I doing something? Or is this where God wants me? Or
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it's because, and I think in both of our cases, it's a similar thing where we've got this expectation that we've set, and now we think that that's what it has to be. But that's not how it always is. Like, if you look at the Bible, the ministries that everyone in the Bible has are changing all the time,
right?
To meet the needs of what God's called them to, not like, okay, now I'm like, look at David's life over the course of his life, and like where he's at one point he's shepherding his dad's flock, at another point he's a soldier in the Israelite army.
Yeah.
At another point he's the king. Yeah. And then at another point he's like the dying king who's like kids are fighting over who's going to have the throne.
Yeah.
And all of that, it's just like these are different aspects of his life that in those moments God had called him to be in those moments.
Yeah.
He didn't call David to be the king when he was shepherding his dad's flock.
Yeah, he calls us to where we are.
Yeah,
I just wonder. I wonder if David lost sight of that ever.
For sure. Well, obviously, you know, I keep seeing the trailers when for this David animated movie.
Yeah,
and I was telling my mom, I bet that David animated movie ends with him going up on his rooftop and being like, "Wow, wow, woo, woo."
I don't get it.
Because he sees Bathsheba.
Oh. Well, like big hard eyes coming out like a caveman.
He turns into a werewolf and he's like, "Oh."
That's stupid.
That'd be wild.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's what's going on with me. What's going on with you, man? What did you do for Thanksgiving?
I went to do the Angel Care thing, and we just had dinner there, which this is our second year doing that. I like it. I think it's fun. And then we took the kids to a movie.
What movie?
Zootopia 2. It's pretty good. So when I was growing up, we would do that. Every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, my family would go see a movie that night.
Really?
Yeah. And so when I started dating Tiffany, she started going with us to the movies, and she was like, "I love this tradition." Well, then my sister moved away, and my nieces and nephews are all growing up, and my brother's got a gaggle of children, so it's like hard to get them all together, and so it's kind of just like falling apart. And my mom's kind of bummed about that, you know.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving was really hard on her. And so Tiffany was like, "Let's just do that with our family. Like, why are we waiting for your family to continue doing the traditions?" And this is, again, this really fits into the whole expectations thing.
Yeah.
She's like, "Why are we waiting for your family to be available to do the things that your family used to do, when we have our own little family that we can just start doing this?"
Right.
And we had my mom go with us, which was cool. Like, she can still be a part of that.
Does she like it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had a great time. And so we're planning on doing the same thing for Christmas, probably. I don't know. The kids don't know about this. It's like a secret. But so, you know, hopefully the kids don't listen to the podcast. But my sister is coming to town on Christmas night.
Nice.
As a surprise. So I don't know. That may change things a little because she's coming in kind of late, and so I don't know how we're gonna do that. But
catch a movie and go get her after.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's. But we're just trying to make these traditions happen for our kids, and it's like it doesn't have to be the exact same thing as what I grew up in or what she grew up in or anything like that. And probably it's better if it's not just a repeat of that.
Right. Yeah, because it's not the same circumstances. I'm sure.
No, yeah.
I don't know where they got the tradition from, but I'm sure it's not the same as the tradition they got it from either.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I heard my manager at work, she told me they every year they bake a Christmas or a cake for Christmas that says Happy Birthday Jesus.
That's super cool.
Yeah, I know, I heard that.
Yeah, we've talked about that. I think that's a great idea.
How's it Christ's birthday but I'm the one getting gifts?
Yeah. I send a lot of gifts.
Can we talk about how parents lie to their children?
Yeah, I'd love to because I'm getting ready to put out these stupid elves.
Yeah. How do you feel about lying to your children like that?
Yeah, I think of it as like pretend, like making fun memories. There is this thing, though, this thought that somehow you, like, as your kids grow out of those things, they'll be like, well, if they lied to me about that, then maybe they lied to me about Jesus, you know?
I've heard that,
but I don't know anyone who that's how they like turned away from the faith. Is they're like, well, I realized Santa Claus wasn't real, so now I don't believe in Jesus.
No, then you just realize what it's really about.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know anyone that's actually happened.
Why don't we just teach them what it's really about from the start?
No, we do teach them what it's about, but also we have the other stuff, which I realize ironically is exactly what I was preaching against today.
But I can't judge you on it.
Yeah, right. Because I also did say that. It's a little bit of like, it's a fun thing to do. Like, especially the elves thing. This is new. Like, I don't know. Maybe they had it when you were a kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not super new, but it definitely was not around when I was a kid.
Really?
But like the elf on the shelf business, yeah. Like the elf comes to report back to Santa how you're doing. So like all of December, this elf's doing like, which is crazy because like the idea is the elf is supposed to be like reporting back to if you're being naughty Santa, but also the elf is super like cheeky and ornery and getting into messes and stuff. That's like the joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but here's what this turns into is it's 24 days of me having to find clever ways to hide this elf and make him like taking a bubble bath of all marshmallows or
like the elf just has syphilis one day.
Sniffilis.
Oh yeah. Inside joke.
Yeah.
We don't have syphilis. I don't.
You know, the elf's going on all these houses using different toilet seats. Anyway.
Gross.
He
doesn't go to the Jeet house.
But the elf on the shelf is supposed to be like this playful thing. And the fun part of it for me now is that like Jude's in on the gag now.
Oh, he's really grown out of it. I'm surprised he hasn't ratted out.
But see, the cool thing about that is Jude is a perfect example of this. He doesn't not believe in Jesus now because he doesn't believe in Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's an interesting
thought. He understands that this was like part of the fun to get to this. You know what I mean? Like so he's looking forward to it. Like he's all excited today. And he's like, Dad, are the elves brother and sister or are they boyfriend and girlfriend? Because if they're boyfriend and girlfriend, I'm going to hang them on the kissing ball and have them be kissing. But if they're brother and sister, I don't want to do that. Like, so he's into it. He's very excited about it. Now, he probably won't stay excited for the whole 24 days, so yeah. I'll have to pick it back up. But it is cool because it's like now he can be a part of that part.
Dude, I remember I was the only kid in class trying to convince everybody that Santa was still real.
Really?
And I came downstairs and see my auntie helping my mom move in a TV. I was like, my life is shattered. My dreams were shattered right there, dude. And then I became an atheist.
But, like, my kids ask about, like, Santa sometimes. The girls do. And I explained to them who St. Nicholas was, which you should appreciate this part. I'm talking to them, talking about them revering the saints.
You're like, guys, St. Nicholas punched a heretic.
Yeah.
And then you cross yourself.
It is my favorite story to tell.
Yeah, I know.
I just love it. It's so good.
Well, the cool thing about St. Nick is that, like, he really was given gifts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was given money to the poor.
And he was doing that in honor of Jesus' birthday. Like, he was right. Like, this, I can't give gifts to Jesus.
You see, but the contradiction, though, is we tell them about St. Nick who gave in the name of Christ, but we receive, especially as children, Christmas is just the day we receive gifts.
Yes.
So is our birthday. There's nothing like deeper to it. So it becomes almost like a, and we don't got to harp on this forever. I mean, you guys joke on me for being the Grinch or whatever, but Christmas is probably the one of the ones I'm like coolest with. I love at the season of Advent. I love the tradition of Christmas in the church. I just think it gets a little diluted and watered down, you know it?
I think so, too.
But also, like, I literally can't judge you. Bro, what I've been realizing lately, bro, is you, like, you're, like, so much more spiritually mature than you, than me, admittedly. And I, like, try to pick you apart on everything. And sometimes I need to just, like, I'll be honest. Well, your kids are wilding out driving home, and then you buy them candy at the gas station. I'm, like, thinking in my head, I was like, this is rewarding bad behavior. But then I was watching, and I was like, that's not what's happening here. It's like, why do I think I know so much about everything? Personally, I might end up teaching my kids about Santa. If my wife wants to teach my kids about Santa and do all that stuff, I could, like, let go of that.
And I did not grow up with Santa and all that stuff. Like, we did not do that. But Tiffany did.
Shift the blame. This the Adam and Eve thing right here.
This woman that you gave me. Tiffany did, and she really like it. She really enjoyed it, and like she felt like things were a lot of fun. And I don't think my Christmases weren't not fun, but I see now like some of the stuff that like my kids do, and I'm like, this is a lot of fun. I'm glad that they get to do that.
Yeah, they're super excited about the elf and all types of
stuff. Oh yeah, Iris has been asking about this stinking elf for weeks. It's now, better. One thing I'm really bad about is I do kind of use the naughty list the way some people use hell for adults. Where I'm like, I don't know, you know, you keep acting up like this, and you might get coal in your stocking or whatever, and then or like she'll be like, I'll say something and she'll just be like, but dad, you know how Iris does, she like argues everything, she'll be like, but dad, and I'll be like, hey, listen, are you gonna listen or are you gonna be on the naughty list? What's gonna happen? One day she was like crying because she's like, I'm on the naughty list.
As adults, instead of coal, we get chlamydia. I'm just kidding, dude. Okay, so there's syphilis going around in Indiana, all crazy.
That's why
we keep joking about it.
Which I don't. Yeah, I heard this from a hospital, and I don't know. I've not done my own research, but
we don't trust
science. Allegedly, in Indiana, it's like a big deal right now. Which I was like, what is it? 1840? Like, I don't even know. I honestly don't even know what syphilis is. Something it messes with your brain somehow. But I don't know.
Honestly, I really don't even believe in syphilis. I think it's just a lack of faith.
Yeah, you know that's it's created by the CIA.
Yeah. Yeah, they're turning the frogs into syphilis.
That's crazy.
You'd have to be a sick animal to give a frog syphilis, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, man. I'll let the Christmas thing go. Maybe not Thanksgiving. That is kind of a colonizer holiday. We didn't get to talk. We didn't do a pod.
We didn't. Yeah, we didn't. We didn't talk about Thanksgiving. Yeah, you were talking about this thing about, like, the kids, it's all about kind of getting, right? Like, getting gifts and all that
capitalism.
Stuff. Right. Yeah, so there's this movie I really love. I watched it on Thanksgiving. This is another thing. So Thanksgiving's a long day because we go and do the Thanksgiving thing, then we go see a movie, and then I come home, and Tiffany and I watch this movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, you talk about this whole time.
I love it so much. I wanted you to watch it with us this year, but you were doing your own thing. You're at your auntie's, even though Thanksgiving is really about me and you watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with me, but instead you went to your auntie's. But all that to be said, this is a movie my dad loved. Like, he loved this movie.
Really?
And I watch it every year, and it's so funny. I laugh at the same parts every time. But it's got John Candy and Steve Martin in it. And there's this big monologue that John Candy does, but in the original it was a lot bigger. And like I've like listened to people like reading the original scripts and stuff, and like listened to the whole monologue. And one of the things he's talking about is like, how like missing out on having a family. One of the things that he misses, it's not the getting stuff that he misses, but it's the giving of himself, like the opportunity to give of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's like, it makes me think about, like, that's really the fun of Christmas when you're an adult. And I remember as a kid being like, seeing my parents and like they're getting each other like one little gift and it's not even anything I would ever be interested in. Mm. And like, I'm getting all these fun, like, you know, Star Wars toys and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't ever want to grow up if that's what Christmas is.
Yeah.
But then as an adult now, I'm like, I love that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's a maturity that comes with it. Yeah. And
it's still about you in a different way, though. It's about like, I want to be able to give on Christmas. So it is a little bit about me still, like, because what it can turn into is like, the approval of like how many gifts my mom does this, grandmas do this, where they want to buy the biggest gift, or they want to buy the coolest thing or the newest thing, and it can kind of get ugly both ways.
I'll be honest, dude, when we were going back and forth about what to get Jude for his birthday, and I convinced Tiffany to like get him the newer Oculus or whatever, his reaction to that was like super rewarding to me, and because like
that's not bad though,
because it's like there's something about like my gift idea making him so excited is like, I know my son well enough to know that. And that's the feeling that's cool, is it's like, I don't care that it's like the most expensive gift. I just care that it's like, I was right about what I know about my kid.
Right.
That's cool to me.
Maybe I'm such a stickler about it because I feel like my mom always got us the worst gifts, dude. One year. So I told you about this online boyfriend who was a scammer, right?
Yeah.
One year she gets us all cologne. It's called Crave. It's like cheap, just dirty cologne and like cheap watches. And she told us they were from him. I still remember that. And now I know she definitely bought that herself. But all the gifts she ever got us was like, she didn't have money. She didn't have anybody helping her out. So it was like pajamas. We never wore pajamas. And it was always like weird stuff. So I kind of just lost the hope of Christmas.
And honestly, that was low-key racist of your mom to be like, my Middle Eastern boyfriend bought you all cologne and watches. Like, and when you grow up, you can work in his mall kiosk with him.
Fixing like, iPhones.
That just was like, That's a little bit wild on her part to be like, if I have a Middle Eastern boyfriend, what would he buy my children? Watches and cologne. That's crazy. Gold chain necklaces and button downs that don't button all the way to the top. Just absolutely insane.
It's just watches and incense.
That's wild, dude.
Yeah. So I don't know. I do enjoy Christmas now. I'll be honest, I really enjoy buying gifts for your kids, bro.
Yeah, and you got some pretty sweet gifts for them, too.
You guys always act weird about it. You're like, oh, I don't get them anything. But it's like, it's a little bit for me, too. You know, I want to be known. I don't want to be known as the weird roommate that hid in his room all the time and didn't have fun with the kids or nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, and I know, like, I was really proud of the gift I got Jude, bro. Like, it's crazy. It's hard shopping for kids his age, dude.
Yeah.
It's, like, almost impossible. And you can't buy them games anymore. It used to be easy for parents. You just go find a game.
Yeah.
You don't do that on Oculus, do you?
No.
Can you get Oculus gift cards?
Yeah, you can, but he just plays the free games.
Yeah.
That's all he does. Like, he's on there right now playing free games.
Yeah, so for people listening to the pod, I got him a W gift. I got him a... like, it's two battery packs that, like, clip onto the side. And I'm looking at him while we're coming in. And he's sitting next to the door with it plugged in on the charger. And I'm like, dude, this is going to kill. Because
that's always his biggest problem is his headset's dead.
Yeah. I was like, this is going to kill.
I always hear him, like, you know, like, right now, you can't hear it on the podcast, but we can hear him, like, screaming and yelling with his friends online. And I don't know how many times a night he'll be like, oh, got to go, bro. My headset's dying.
And honestly, I don't mind it, bro. When I was a kid doing what he was doing, I was saying bad things and doing all types of stuff. I heard him up there the other night. Bro, I come up, it's like 1:30 in the morning. And he's like gaming. And he's like telling some kid not to use God's name in vain and all types of stuff. And I'm like, fair enough, bro. Like, let him be a kid, dude.
And he's always counseling those kids, which crazy to me that these, you know, teenage boys on Oculus are having like so much like heavy stuff in their life.
Yeah.
But he's always just like talking them through it while they're playing like Gorilla Tag or whatever.
It's especially hard for kids now with all this LGBTQ stuff going on too. Because he has a lot of friends that he'll talk to me about that stuff. And like talking about femboys, and I didn't know what a femboy was probably till I was 19 or 20. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it's like that stuff is like so new and hard to deal with.
So I'm going to tell you this story that I thought was really cool. So when we were on the cruise, Jude met this girl, and she was a super sweet kid, and like, you know how Jude is. He doesn't want to ever go out and do anything where there's like sunshine.
Yeah.
He's practically a vampire.
Yeah.
So the boat life was not really his thing. Like, he loved going to the little pizza parlor. He went there like 10 times a day. But he'd be like, I want to be in the room and just like doing whatever.
Yeah.
And just chilling and like hanging out and not. And he didn't have like his Oculus or anything like that, but he loves to listen to music and just like chill and be by himself. That's just like what he wants to do. But anytime this girl would go out and like hang out at the pool, he'd go, then he's like, oh yeah, I guess I'll go. I'll hang out. So he's talking to this girl, and at some point he said that she had told him, like early on in the trip, he said that she told him that she was trans and she wanted to be a boy or something like that. And remember, these are like young kids. So if that's what you really want to do as an adult, this is my big hang up on the whole thing. I'm not going to tell anybody how to live their life, but I also don't think kids are to the point where they can make this decision. You know what I mean?
Definitely not.
Like that's my whole stance on that. I'm not going to get super political. I'm not going to dive into this topic a whole lot because I don't want to, like, I just don't want to fight about it. This is just my stance. If you're an adult person, you can do what you're going to do, and that's on you. You figure it out. But when it's like kids, man, that's tough because it's like, I don't want them to have to do that. And Jude just like hung out with this girl all week and just talked to her, was nice to her, didn't like judge her or say anything about it. But he did. He told me later in the week, he said that he told her, he was like just asking her questions. He's like, why do you feel that way? Like, you could just be how God made you, and you're pretty, and you should be this pretty girl that God made you to be.
Christian game. You might have found him a P-31.
And then at the end of the week, he's like, hey, good news. My friend said that she just wants to be who she is, and she doesn't want to change who she is
anymore. Yeah.
And I was like, that's such a cool thing. And it didn't have to be this big, deep thing. He wasn't preaching at her. Like, when I was his age, I probably would have been like, of course, we didn't.
In Leviticus 19.
We didn't have all that going on back then when I was a kid. But if we did, I probably would have been like, oh, that's sinful, that's wrong, the Bible says this. He just is like, he's like, you're perfect the way God made you. Why don't you just want to be who you are?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, that's crazy. And that worked, and it was like, cool. So he does this stuff, and like, we could dog on him all day about how he's on technology too much, or like, when I'm preaching, he's like counting down the slides because he knows how many I have, and he's like, all right, we're almost done, or whatever. But he's coming into his own thing, and I'm not going to tell him how to do it because he seems to be doing fine on his own. Now, if he starts to struggle and starts getting into a mess, I'll help him. But that's like how my dad always did it. It was like, you know, we talked about this with my sisters when they were on, and like, my dad would like let us kind of fall into whatever thing mess and get ourselves into trouble, not in a way that where we would like really be in trouble, but he'd let us make mistakes and then he'd be like, all right, now what are we gonna do to get out of this?
I think that's what I was saying earlier when I'm over here like micro analyzing your kids and stuff and your parenting, and then I like hear stuff like that and I see stuff like that, and it's kind of like what I was dealing with at the recovery meeting where like I'm not good at what to let go and what to let ride. You know what I'm saying? I think everything's going to turn into a catastrophic event and turn you into an animal or whatever. But, like, I noticed the fruit of Jude's life. And I look back when I was his age, I was doing the same stuff in a worse way. It's like we were talking about at recovery. Like, you might have 8 sins now, but you used to have 9 or 10.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If Jude spends a little too much time on the game,
but he still loves the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, he'll grow out of that, bro. Kids really grow out of that stuff. They want to make money. They want to have a job. They want to have a girlfriend. So eventually they just get out of that stuff. There's definitely worse things he could be doing, especially with the people we've been hanging out with on Sunday nights. They're hearing their testimonies. There's way worse things that he could be doing. I think you're doing a good job as a dad, bro. I do.
Well, thanks, man.
I feel like every episode I give you these great compliments.
Yeah.
And I get nothing in return.
Well, because
I get jokes about my mom's online boyfriend.
Because you love this self-abasement. If I start telling you good stuff, you got to counteract it by whipping yourself at night or whatever you do. I don't know. I can't hear what you're doing down here because I'm
contracting syphilis.
I'm too busy making noise in my own room. You know what I'm saying? This is the second night in a row. Tiffany's not here. She's working. She's done. So that's part of the reason I have like let the kids have candy tonight, because I'm like, you know what, man? I'm on night two of bedtime by myself. I'm out of juice, man. I'm out of energy.
She's been working her butt off.
She has been.
She runs around just as much as you do, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then yesterday we hung out all day, me and her, at a winter market selling our wares and our goods. Yeah. I got to sell my book and some Dungeons & Dragons minis I painted. I took your advice. I started selling some of that stuff.
Did it go?
I sold one.
Really?
Yeah, for like 15 bucks.
How much you pay for it, put into it?
I probably paid $5 for it when I bought it, and then I used some of the like modeling foam I use and some paint and stuff, but not a lot. It probably cost me less than $8 total.
Yeah, you know? Dude.
And this was forever ago I did it. Like, I just kind of do them as I go. So
that's almost 100% turn on that. That's pretty good.
Pretty big, yeah.
That's dope. How was that, hanging out with her all day yesterday?
It was fun.
Yeah, I really admire how much you guys value, or how much you value spending time with her, because most of the other guys I met that are married are literally the opposite way.
Really?
They can't stand time away, or they can't stand time with their wife.
That's kind of how she is with me.
maybe you're a little overwhelming.
Nah, she likes to hang out with me. But yesterday, we went and we had stuff from her mom, that her mom had made, stuff she had made, like stuff she had crocheted. And then I had my books and then those D&D minis. I sold one book and one D&D mini. And we sold a bunch of her mom's stuff. She didn't sell anything yesterday, but maybe we'll see how the next. We left our stuff there and had like Venmo set up. So, and then also we're supposed to go and collect the stuff obviously tomorrow and pick it up. And like they might have also sold stuff for us.
Yeah.
The people who are like running the market. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to find. When we get there, maybe we'll have sold a bunch of stuff. Or maybe we've sold nothing. Who knows?
But no expectations, bro.
Yeah. But cool thing, like the book's been selling a lot slower now because I'm not pushing it as much or whatever. But I wanted to like have something to display with the book yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I like pulled these reviews online. I didn't use the one where you said asked if I was single. But I did use a clip from your review. But
what was it?
I actually I don't remember. Something about the change your perspective or something. But I have
on gay marriage.
I have four 5-star reviews on Amazon now, and two of them are not people I know. So that was super cool.
Isn't that a little more rewarding now that people are buying your book, not because you're their pastor or their friend, like they're just buying
it? Yeah, they're just buying it. Yeah, some guy at that market was like asking me all about it, and then he read the back. A bunch of people read the back and then didn't buy it, so I don't know. Maybe my pitch isn't really great. But this one guy read the back and then was asking me all about it, and like we got talking about it and stuff. He's like, I got to buy this book. And that was like a way that's cooler dope. Feeling because it's like, I have no idea who this guy is. He doesn't know who I am. It's just like he's like really genuinely interested in this. And so
that's dope. So are you not generally interested in a podcast? Genuinely interested in a podcast? Why are we not promoting a podcast out here?
So I almost did, but there's nothing to sell. So the whole thing is like you sell things that you made.
We're selling ourselves.
Right, right. But this market is like, it was like inside this farmhouse. So it was like, it was weird. Like, I was trying to figure out, like, what I could sell. Like, I made podcast stuff, and I don't know what I would do. So
you
maybe
don't have to sell nothing. We have, like, the stickers and stuff.
Yeah. I always forget about the stickers.
Yeah.
We do have the stickers. I need to get some stickers out there.
We need to get some more stickers, some more pens. You know,
yeah,
if,
yeah.
If people want their book signed, maybe you sign it with the Pastor Aggressive pen, yeah, and slap it in there.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I thought about even doing the Pastor Aggressive stickers as like bookmarks. Like,
yeah, I'm just saying. I'm the only one that cares about this podcast. Maybe we should get some Pastor Aggressive bookmarks made.
Yeah, we could. We could definitely do that.
That'd be dope. Anybody out there that could help us out? 80, if you're still listening, we really need some help. Help us out, sister.
Yeah.
Miss you. Love you. Hope your baby's good.
Yeah, that's sick. We should do that. That would be... Yeah, podcast... I when I was doing my other podcast, my old nerdy podcast, that was always the thing. We were like, what do you sell? Because, like, it's not like a band where you're selling CDs or records of your podcast. We That'd be weird.
Shirts.
Shirts are something.
Our logo's pretty dope.
It is pretty dope. We could definitely
put like Pastor Aggressive over the back and just have the logo on the front or something.
Yeah.
That's too much upfront cost, man. We're already selling too much stuff. It'd be hard to get anybody to buy our shirts.
Yeah. I'd wear one.
Raise them for a mission trip to Honduras.
Yeah.
$45 a shirt.
Dang, dude. We're talking about like the inflation and all that.
That's little old country church, boy. You know they got that money. Ask old boy that just had to get escorted out or whatever.
Yeah. Now, we will probably talk about that at some point because we have somebody from that church that wants to be on the podcast and I think is like willing to talk about that situation, which is good. We need to talk about it. I've talked about it a little bit on here. There was a church that was struggling with... they had a pastor that was kind of taking control of stuff and he was doing some things that were not right and now that situation's kind of getting worked out or whatever. So once it's all resolved, I think we might have some people want to come on and talk about that, which I think is totally fine. I think that's... Well, like you said, it would have been... We talked about this on an episode of a few weeks ago. It's probably been a month ago now. I don't know. But like where I was like, what's my role in like correcting other pastors and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. And you even said today, like it would have been well within my right to bring this to like the denomination he was preaching under.
Yeah.
That like it, that would not have been like, that would not have been unreasonable for me to go to them and say, hey, I know of this pastor that these things are going on.
Yeah, because the difference is he doesn't report to you, but he reports to the Southern Baptist Convention.
Correct. And so it would not be, yeah, it's not my authority that I'm doing
which
this.
Which is low-key like bishops, dude. I'm just saying. They're low-key ripping off the...
I mean, that's all denomination. I mean, I'm my denomination is American Baptist, and we have a bigger, larger board for like the state or whatever.
You know? Pastors have to be held accountable, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is why that congregational stuff doesn't work, bro. I mean,
it does until you get, and this we're running over, but this will be a topic for a day. I promise we will actually talk about this sometime with people that were maybe even involved in the situation. But the problem with that is when you get a cult of personality, when you get somebody in there that's so charismatic, and I don't mean like in the churchy spiritual sense,
like the Trump sense.
What I literally mean like they're the way that they talk convinces people of stuff that maybe isn't good. When you have somebody who can do that, then the congregational model can be a problem because they can just sway the entire congregation.
That's so crazy.
It is. And then what they've learned, sometimes they've learned methods to get rid of the people that they can't sway. And that's where it gets dangerous. Because they're literally just modeling everything to give themselves more power.
That's some China communist stuff right
there. Yeah. So
maybe TikTok implanted a Elon chip in his brain. The China takeover is happening in the church. Lord have mercy. Well, we didn't talk about what we wanted to talk about, but I'm okay with this episode.
Yeah, it was good.
We're trying not to riff anymore, but this was a natural riff, guys. Okay, yeah. We came into this prepared. Maybe we'll talk about it next time. Maybe we'll have a guest on. We need to have a guest on.
We have several guests who want to come on the show. We just need to make it work.
Including the bishop of the west side of Indianapolis, Orthodox Church.
We've got some people that do want to come on the show, and we've got plans for that. But yeah, we're getting toward the.
We even have a shadow. We're going to mentor somebody in the art of podcasting, which we are obviously proficient at.
Obviously, we're professionals. We got this. Does the word proficient come from the word professional?
I don't know.
I bet it does.
I know we're a
royal priesthood. They probably come from the same Greek word or Latin word or something.
We're saints. We're priests.
That's right.
We're podcasters. Peter said it.
That may not be the truth, but God's truth won't back down, and neither should you. Stay focused, stay aggressive, stay relentless for God's glory. Amen.